Amen. Well, I want to welcome everybody here tonight and all of our listeners out there around the world. And it's our Q&A, question and answer night on Wednesday. And some of the questions came in, and one of them was in reference to temptation. And what exactly is temptation? And are we tested? And, you know, is God testing us? And all these different types of questions in reference to, I guess, the way we are influenced. And is it God influencing us, or is it the enemy, the devil? You know, how many people think that the devil's out there just playing his game all by himself? How many are out there thinking that that might be true? Well, I hate to ruin your, you know, Cheerios today, but the enemy really isn't allowed to do anything outside of God allowing it to happen. So of all those out there thinking that the devil's over there causing them to do this and causing them to do that, and the devil's, working its magic and influencing you, and you're causing, you know, yourself to not be able to do the things that you want to do, and you keep on doing them. Paul references that sin, which I find really interesting, because we all know what sin is. Sin is basically based on selfish, lustful desires of self, but that's another story there. But Tim's looking for maybe a possible scripture verse in reference so that we can back up what we're saying in we call the Holy Bible, which is probably the only book that I found that backs up my experience that happened in my life. Some of you might know my testimony and why we're here actually doing this, and some of you may not, but I would say abducted by the universe. And I met Jesus in that heavenly universal place, and he mentioned for me to come back and tell them about my Father. So those that are out there thinking that the devil has control over your life, and, you know, you can't shake the stick, and every time you turn around, the devil's behind every bush, and it's so far from the truth. You know, the devil can't do anything without God's permission. And you know, you have to ask yourself, what are you here for? You know, why do you think we're here on this earth? I mean, God has given us redemption, and we spoke about that a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last Sunday. I don't remember. Yeah. And redemption, you know, God brought us back here, you know, not to build big houses, not to, you know, establish a real, you know, fancy life, or for those that are just trying to make ends meet, not to struggle. Really, these things are to bring us back to Him. What's your input on this, Tim?
You know, I see redemption as a time where God wants to draw an individual back to Him. You know, redemption is allowing circumstances to happen in someone's life, and in essence, that person turns back to God, and, you know, He wants to establish a relationship with every single person in this world, but He has to somehow get that person to turn back to Him, or there's not going to be a relationship.
Amen.
Because individuals out there think that they don't need God,
right,
unless there's circumstances that transpire in somebody's life.
You know, it's funny. I posted something on a Facebook where you had one of those actors running from the Indians. What was it? Who was that gentleman?
Was it Tonto?
Not Tonto, but the guy who played Tonto, actually, on the Indian.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a famous actor. And this actor's running from the Yeah, it was Johnny Depp, and he was playing a pirate, I think.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean. He's running away from the these, I guess, Indians.
The Aborigine Indians.
ever, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's running away and running away. And he turns around like, you know, with this expression on his face. And it's like, how can you say there is no God? You know, you get ready to push somebody off the edge of the cliff and they're like, oh, God. You know, they're screaming, oh, God. It's our natural instinct, you know, to express that there is a God. And, God does these things. He puts a lot of temptation or not temptation.
Testings.
Yeah, we're right. We were saying then how there is no temptation because God doesn't tempt us. They're actually trials. And these trials are for us to come down to such a heaviness where our eyes eventually lift up and begin to recognize our Creator. How can anybody say there is no God?
You know, the pride of life allows us to not view that there is a God, because people that are so prideful can't be humbled and humble themselves to the point where they cry out to God. But there's always a breaking point, I believe, in everybody's life. And through these circumstances and trials that God allows to be on someone, I feel that the circumstances brings somebody to a breaking point to where they are humbled enough to cry out for God and say, okay, you know what, there is a God. In fact, there was a famous king back in the Old Testament, his name was Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. who had so much pride that he built himself an altar of himself to have everybody worship him. And because of his pride, God humbled him and basically sent him and casted him out of his own kingdom. Mm-hmm. And for 7 years, he walked the earth as a woolly beast. I mean, he was growing like big fingernails and hair, and you know, he's dirty, and he lost his mind.
Refer to today. He hit the streets.
He hit the streets, yeah. How many people turn to drugs, and they're junkies, and they're just street bums, and, you know, until they can actually come to their senses where they're actually broken, mm-hmm. and their heart's saying, okay, God, you know, I had enough, that's when they can turn back to God and establish a right standing and a relationship with him.
Yep. There's also that other story with Job. You know, tell them about Job.
In the Old Testament, Job was a very rich man, but he loved God, you know, so he thought, until all these different trials and circumstances arose in his life. And let me tell you, the guy went through a living hell. I mean, he lost basically every possession. He lost his wife, and, you know, and I think he was even losing, like, all his possessions, like his goats and his cattle and everything else.
Yeah. He obviously did love God.
He did.
He loved God.
Because he was still he had people come to him and say, hey, just curse God and die. And he was like, no, you know, right. I just know that God's going to do something here, you know. Until eventually he said, you know what, God, you are everything and I'm not. You know, he came to that broken point. And then God said, you know what, that's my son. And he gave him everything back, including a double portion of what he had. He gave him a wife, he gave him more kids, he gave him more cows and cattle. He surplused the amount more so than he had before because he went through a test and he passed the test.
Yep. There was one area in that particular story that I love really, really much.
Leviathan and all that.
Right? Yeah, where God turned around and looked at Job and basically said, who are you? You know, I want those that are listening, our listeners tonight, to really come to that place and kind of fall to there. Who are you? You know, when I read that, it really struck me. Because how many times do we think that the devil is, you know, attacking us? Oh, I'm being attacked by the devil. Oh, or I'm being attacked. You know, I have these spiritual warfares going on and I'm being attacked. And when reality is, God is just trying to say, listen, am I going to be your God?
He's drawing closer to you.
Yep.
By putting this on you.
Am I going to... You know, are you going to, like, give me your everything and honor me? Are you outside of my will?
What do you think of that one?
Absolutely. I mean, God, when he draws near to you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, mm-hmm. it seems like all hell breaks loose. Mm. Because, you know, it says no man can stand before God and actually see his face. Mm-hmm. You know, and his face is glorious. Mm-hmm. And when we have pride and we have our own will, you know, we can't see in the spirit realm. We can't see God in the spirit like that. So all hell breaks loose until you get to that breaking point where you say, okay, you know what, God, I've had enough. You throw your hands up, your heart's just crying out, and all of a sudden, things start to break. God says, okay, you know what, I'm going to take the pressures of life off of you, and now I'm going to start to ease you back into like into a peace and a joy. I tell you what, all of us here, I can attest to it. We've all been through testings and trials in our life. Some were greater than others. But you know what? I can honestly say when you go through those trials, it gives you a testimony because you've overcome things. And it's because of the power of God in your life that you overcome.
Well, you know, some of our listeners don't even know God. Yeah, and sure. And so we want to draw them to who he is. And when you do get to these areas, I look at the pride of life as very strong. And I look at Job. Let's go back to Job. Job had a very strong pride of life. I mean, it had to come down to where he was whacked with losing everything, even family and everything. And it was just incredible how he was stripped down so much. And even those that knew him said that he was a devout man of God. And so I look at the amount of pride Job had, you know, the pride of life of Job, to where God said, you know what, I'm going to overtake that pride. I'm stronger than the pride of life. And brought that devastation on him to where he basically said, who are you? And then God began to reveal himself. And if we can begin to break down the pride of life, you know, because I think pride actually causes us to look at the devil. The devil's attacking me, or, oh, I'm being attacked. You know, like you're an innocent victim, and you're just being, you know, assaulted.
Assaulted, right, yeah.
You know, without a charge. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when hardship comes on me, and I know this just by my walk with God, yeah, I look up and I say, okay, God, you know, what's going on? Where do I need to reevaluate and humble myself? And, you know, a lot of times I find that I have to let what I think is justice become injustice, where I have to just not be so angry at an individual because I feel that they're not doing what they should be. Yeah, righteous indignation or something like that. And you know, most of these things happen with my own family, you know. Like you guys don't argue with your wives and husbands now. And so a lot of times I have to just throw my hands up in the air and just say, okay, whatever, you know, and work out my own salvation and not let anger or, resentment
or something rise up.
Uh-huh. Yep. And just kind of take me. And just basically say, okay, Lord, you know, you're bigger than me. You have to handle this. Now, that doesn't mean that we just let everybody walk all over us as a floor mat. I mean, we have to stand up for what's right, you know. But there's a point where this anger, you know, when it starts to take us. What I guess my point is that there isn't a devil behind every bush attacking us. There's no attacks
without cause.
Without cause. That's a good point.
Without cause.
To come against us. And God is not out there to harm us. And we have to realize that. You know, he went to Job. Well, how that story is Satan came to God.
I was going
to
say that.
And Satan came to God and said, you know, what about your servant Job? And he says, oh, he's a righteous man, but you know what? Okay, go ahead and influence him, but don't take his life.
Yeah.
Don't take his life. So there was limitations on that, where God knew that Job could probably take that pressure and things of that nature. And I believe God knows our limitations, because he always says that I'll never give you more than you can handle. True. You know, when he says, I never will give you more than you can handle, that's a biggie right there. Yeah, so I know I take that, and I want my listeners to hear this, right? Our listeners to hear this, that we take that and we realize that, well, whatever it is, we can handle this, but God, it's getting heavy. You know, it's time to lift. You know, one of the things is, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. You know, and I know Pastor Tim and I, we have this reverence fear of God that, you know, we have to be obedient into the things that he causes us to do, even though that we don't want to do it, because there's going to be a time where we know pressure, like some of our listeners might understand this phrase, the crap hits the fan. And it gets tiring when, you know, all this stuff tends to fall on you. You know, we're at a point now where we don't blame the darkness, Satan, you know, karma, all that stuff. We know now, and that's what we want our listeners to start realizing, that it's not these things. It's God.
It's definitely God.
It's God. And, you know, Pastor Tim made a valuable point earlier, that God is knocking at your door. You know, some people say God doesn't love me when that stuff happens.
It's actually a greater love.
Amen. I love, you know, how you put that.
It's to the point where we call it tough love. You know, God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to suffer because of ignorance. Mm. So I believe he really puts these trials on us so that we can look within ourselves and say, okay, God, and it's through repentance, which is simply changing the way you're thinking, to say, okay, God, why am I having all these trials and stuff pile up on me? You know, you have to look within. You can't look outside of yourself and say, is it this? Is it my job? Is it? No. You have to look within yourself and say, okay, God, what are you showing me here? What are you telling me that I need to change here in my life?
You know, life's inside. Life's inside. Yep. And our troubles are from it.
Inside, correct.
And so everything is within. Yep. That's the world that we really live. We speak about this world doesn't exist. It doesn't. The true life is inside. So, you know, you brought up a good point. You have to look in within. You have to look within to find out what the deal is so that you can communicate to God. A lot of times we might not be walking in obedience.
True.
We might not be walking in the will of God. Tell our listeners about the will of God so that they completely understand, because they might be like, well, I want to be in the will of God, but I don't know how to be in the will of God.
Great point, Pastor. You know, the will of God is basically really simple. It's looking within your heart to the voice and the commandments that God wrote on it. You know, it's following when he pushes you out of like an inspiration or an unction or a desire, and he starts to move you. You need to follow it. You know, if you ignore conviction or inspirations and things like that, you're outside the will of God, because now you're becoming God because you're thinking and reasoning with your mind or a different feeling other than really the true voice that's within. And that's where we fall in disobedience, because God says, I'd rather you be obedient than sacrifice. You know, and a lot of times when we follow our own will, which is our mind, we're sacrificing out of obligation. Hey, I really don't feel like doing that, but I'm going to do it. You know, nobody likes to feel obligated, but isn't that the way our life has been without God? It's been kind of through obligations, and, you know, you're not really happy. You don't really have peace because you're outside the will of God. You're not following the true sense of your heart, which is God's commandments that he speaks when your heart.
You know, here's the holidays are coming up. Okay. And everybody feels like they have to submit and, you know, do the tradition thing or what have you, or
get gifts and this.
Yeah, I can't really afford the gifts, but oh my God, I gotta go put myself in tremendous amount of debt to do it because, you know, I gotta do it or what have you. Whatever it may be. You know, here's a perfect time to get into the will of God. Yeah. you're feeling that way because maybe he doesn't want you to be in a big debt this year, you know? Right. Maybe he wants you to just relax, you know? I mean, there are things that we do that we tend to not listen to. It's that still small voice that we have to try to connect to. And when we begin to connect to that still small voice, despite what, you know, we feel, because a lot of times, you know, we can get lazy. I mean, when you say, I don't feel like, you know, blah, and you know you should be, that can be harmful too, because I know there's a lot of times where I know I have to do some things, even though I don't like to be driven, so to say. There's times where I don't feel like doing things. What I'll do is wait until I get another knock on my door. You know, you should really do that. You know, exactly. you should have moved. Yeah. Well, if I hear three knocks, I'm like, all right, I better get up and get going. You know, I better get doing it, you know. So, you know, coming up with these holiday seasons, I know it's a lot of pressure on most people. And, you know, I think really America alone is probably the culprit. I don't think they really carry over. Well, I don't know. I was in South Africa, and they covered Christmas, too, with a lot of
overseas
that.
Overseas they do, yeah.
Yeah. I don't, how is it over there? I don't.
There's an emphasis on giving, you know, with gifts and things. But I think over in America, because we're kind of like the fat cow, it's more of an emphasis of extravagant gifts and like basically overwhelming people with your giving more so than overseas.
Yeah. So, you know, out there, you know, just humble ourselves and try to live that life of brokenness. If you're sick and tired, basically of being sick and tired and you know, you want the pressures of life to kind of back off a little bit. You know, look up. You know, give your heart to our Creator. Begin to start saying, God, you know, if you don't know Him, say, I want to start knowing You. If you know Him, then say, I want to know You more. If you have that relationship, build on it and say, okay, God, you know, I'm going to stop right now, take 10, take two steps back, and I'm going to just keep waiting upon You. When you do this, I truly do believe that God enlightens you to what needs to be done. Yeah. I think we sometimes walk a little too ahead of God, and then all of a sudden, that's where we start getting into trouble. Yeah. You know, I look at it as, when God calls us to something, there's nothing more important in this world that can't wait till the next day or the next hour. You see? We have to put them first. I know there's a reverence fear of the Lord, or reverence fear of God, or reverence fear of our Creator, to be so obedient then I'm afraid that there's like a lightning bolt that's going to come down and, you know, strike us somehow or another. How many of us just out here in our audience have that sense of reverence to where you know that you need to submit somehow or just kind of hearken to His voice and put Him first? If not, something's going to happen. You feel that way?
Most of the people do, yeah.
You know, it's, I'm going to tell you, that's a good way of living. That's a good way of living because
there's a reverence and honor there.
Sure, sure. And, you know God's going to, you know it. You just know that there's going to be a trip or a hole or something that's going to, you know, do something to cause inconvenience. I mean, I like to go through life with peace. I want peace and joy, and there's literally a place that we enter to. We enter into a physical place. Some people might be like, physical? How could it be physical? But it is. It's physical.
Inside of you, it's physical.
Yeah.
You know.
And it starts spiritually, I guess. Then it turns into a physical. But I like, you know, when doors open up that no man can shut. And I like doors to close that no man can close. I mean, it says in that book there, and I'm a true believer of a lot of things that it says, because it was all given to me in that time of my experience. And then that book, I guess, confirmed it, you know, was a witness. And then it said, I say that book's a witness to what is of the truth. So if you truly want God to begin to lead your life, put him first. And don't ever whine about him closing doors.
That's true, because then you start to fall into depression and regret and things like that.
Yeah, you might not think, you know, or open doors.
Yeah.
Because when you're in that place of saying, you know, hey, God, you know, I want you to be number one in my life. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I'm going to try to follow you. And all of a sudden, he closes a door that you're not happy about. You might want to stop whining and start thanking him that he closed that door. And if that door opens up, you better not be afraid to walk through it. You better walk through it, despite if you have the means or what have you. You know, he'll supply it. You might not be able to go as fast as you want to. You might have to slow down a little bit. But I believe God is, his intentions are righteous for you, and that if we put all of our hope and trust in him, he'll guide us to that life that we really desire. And so I'm hoping that our listeners are really grabbing hold of what we're saying tonight, so that we stop whining or feeling sorry for ourselves against these trials and testings that tend to come on us. Suck it up, you know, when you feel like there's a lot of pressure on us and that the devil is not attacking us and, you know, God is just drawing close to us. And, you know, that's actually, I would say, a gift.
You know, I wanted to say, you can actually have peace and joy through a trial.
Sure.
You know, when you put God up. Yes, exactly. When you humble yourself and you know that everything is from God, through God, and to God, mm-hmm. is all things, mm-hmm. then you can overcome the suffering that you're going through that trial, and you're going to have peace and joy in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Jim and I can attest to this. We've all gone through sufferings up and down in our life, and we've always had to investigate in our heart what the trouble is or what the suffering is. And one thing we can say is we've learned that we want to obey the conviction within us, because when we don't, it sometimes can lead to condemnation, mm-hmm. because you start to say, oh, man, why am I going through this? I think I missed this. And mm-hmm. we don't want to do that. So we're basically very slow to, and we basically focus on the heart and say, okay, God, is that conviction there? All right, you tell me to go this way. And we double check and triple check to make sure that's the right way to go. And we also associate it with, is there peace with it? Am I having peace with that decision that I'm being led to do? Mm-hmm. Because when you're out of the peace, your heart's troubled. And that suffering's there, and you know, you're in torment, basically in your mind and in your heart. And you need to come out of that by searching your heart to find out, okay, why is it troubled? Okay, maybe God didn't want me to go here. He wants me to go this way. And you still have that conviction. You need to obey it. Mm-hmm. Obey that conviction, because it will lead you into peace. Mm-hmm. And that's all we want in our life now, at this point in our life, is peace and joy and righteousness. Because mm-hmm. your actually righteousness is with God when you're in right standing with him. When you obey that conviction, and you have that peace, you got a right standing with God. You have righteousness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not based on your work. And, you know, I said 10 Hail Marys and I prayed all day long and all this nonsense. No, it's actually being obedient to the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a righteousness. You have a clean conscience. Your whole conscience is clean. Like you don't feel dirty, like you did something wrong. Because mm-hmm. it's the Bible actually says there's no condemnation in Christ. And Christ is that divine nature. It's when you're following that conviction and that voice of God through the commandments that's written on your heart, there's righteousness there.
Yeah, it's being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind.
Yeah, and when we come to that place of renewing our mind, which is clearly just changing the way we're thinking, it's almost like, is your glass half full or is it half empty? And so, you know, I want to know that my glass is half full. Actually, full, three quarters, overflowing, you know. And I want to look at, you know, my glass always overflowing. I'm you know, grateful, just being totally grateful, not having any high expectations, but just, you know, being grateful for the today, just being grateful for the five fingers in my hand, you know. Yeah. And when we reach that place of being grateful, God's mind is far above what we can comprehend or even imagine. And if we're suffering out there, or we're disturbed or confused or aggravated, annoyed, more than likely it's your will. And we just have to say, okay, God, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah. Whether you're the God that give it and you're the God that takes it away. And, you know, whose life really is it? If it's yours to possess, I think we're in wrong standings. If it's, we give our life to our Creator who created us, I believe we're in right standing. And, you know, look, you're lucky that you're actually breathing today. He can take your breath away, and then all of your complaining and you being annoyed about how things may not be going the way you want, and you can say that I'm being attacked by the devil or whatever, you know, you're carrying on like a child because of the fact that you could be here today and gone tomorrow, and all that whining and complaining and aggravating and everything else is fruitless. You know, it's meaningless. And so, you know, if we can get to that place, you find people who were on near deathbeds, you know, and when they come to it, the things that they felt that were so important in life are no longer important. They begin to look at things differently. They become, I say, with the mind of Christ. They repented. They realized they gave their life to today. They're not really caught up about tomorrow. And they're just making sure that they fulfill the purpose for today. If we set our minds on that, I truly believe we'll not only fulfill the purpose of the day, but I also think that we'll fulfill the purpose of our life. Mm. And we'll establish a kingdom. Yeah. And that kingdom will be everlasting and lead to eternal life. And you know, mostly that's where we're at. We want to be able to lead a life that is peace and joy and righteousness, and which we call the kingdom of God. If you stay tuned and listen to our Sunday services and hear the messages that we are speaking about, you know, we're talking about the kingdom and why is it so important to establish this place. I'm starting to realize more and more that this is the gospel message that, you know, the world is seeking for. Yeah. You know, the gospel message isn't about this prophet or that prophet or, you know, this man of God or that man of God or what have you. You know, it's literally about the place and living and dwelling in that place and coming to that place and residing and allowing us to come to that place. And when we come to that place and remain in that place here on earth, it gives us that eternal life forever. Yep. And that's where I want to bring all of our listeners to that place. Come. You know, the Spirit and the Bride says, come. And so those that are heavy laden, you know, lift your eyes up. Those that are feeling like as though that they're lost and they need direction, lift your eyes up, because the witness is inside of you. I truly believe those that are listening and are heavy You know, God has sent people in your life to maybe take some of the workload off. Trust them. You know, you might not even have lifted your eyes up to heaven, but you lifted them in the sense of throwing your hands up. You see?
Yeah.
Ah, I don't know what to do. As soon as you are at that place, you're actually communicating to God. Without even communicating to God, they don't know it.
Because he can help.
He's helping.
Yeah, yeah.
We just have to be aware that he's helping.
Yeah.
What happens is fear comes in. And fear causes us to protect ourselves. So now we don't let other people come into our life. We don't let other people help us. We don't walk through the doors that are opened or opportunity that is facing us. And, you know, that's a bad thing, because if fear comes in and causes us not to move forward with these opportunities, then the door is going to close, and then you're back in your same miry pit.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, we want to be awakened. You know, I know last Sunday service, we had a wonderful service.
Really good.
And
really good.
I feel as though that the Spirit and the bride was waking up the giant, the sleeping giant, you know, and the whole world is a sleeping giant. And he's calling all of us to wake up, just wake up and be able to understand and see the value of life. And not the everyday grind.
Right.
You see, you know, we're all grinding. How many out here just in this audience alone is grinding every day?
Every day.
Okay. Well, be
but
free.
It's meaningless.
Yeah. Be free of the grind. I know there are things that we have to do, but as we go and do them, find joy in it. Find some peace. Talk to some people while you're doing it. You know, if you got to joke around a little bit, lighten up, you know. We got to get a life. We just got to get a life.
Hey, Pastor, I have a scripture verse here in James that backs up pretty much everything we've been talking about tonight. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience."
Oh, that's beautiful.
"But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberty and without reproach, and it will be given unto you."
You know, I love when the witness, see, this book is a witness. This book is just nothing but a witness, you know, and life is inside of us. And if our listeners, you know, really can believe this ministry, you know, we're not here to break any records. We're not here to build thousands of churches. We're not even here to start a new denomination. We're here to set people free.
That's it.
You know, there's a lot of religious sects out there that require certain criteria and all that other stuff, even becoming members and stuff. You know, that's all nice to connect to us. But that's not our objective. Our objective is to get the truth out and to really let those that are listening live a better life.
You know, we have a burning desire in our hearts, the people of this ministry, to establish and see an established relationship of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to where you can stand on your own two feet and have a relationship with God to where it leads you to eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's no other purpose but that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a burden within us. That's why we come here and meet every Sunday and Wednesday nights, because it's not for our account, but it's for your account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because God touched us in a very special way, and he gave us a revelation and a knowledge of who he is in our life. And we share that every week with you, so that you too can have the same relationship that even Jesus himself had.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody in this world is worthy of a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know what? He wouldn't give anybody the knowledge or revelation of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is worthy. And that's why we're here. that's the only purpose we're here, is that we already established a relationship with us, God did, mm-hmm. and now we want to see the same relationship, you know, with you. Mm-hmm. And God wants to have that relationship. It's just a matter of saying, okay, God, humble yourself and cry out to him. You know, and listen to these messages. There's a ton of messages that are on our website, which is glorytothenations.org. If you just take the time, I know everybody gets busy, but if you're in your car, pop in a CD, you know, turn on our website on your phone and just listen to a message and just let it witness to you inside of your heart. Mm-hmm. I guarantee your life will change. You'll never be the same. I can attest that. I've been with this ministry for over 17 years, mm-hmm. and I've listened over and over to the truth, and I've applied it. And I've never been the same since I first stepped foot in the doors in this place. Amen. Because God wanted a relationship with me and with Pastor and with everybody that's here and everybody that's on the web. Or you wouldn't be tuning in here listening to this, mm-hmm. because there's a hunger inside of everyone. And, you know, the Bible here says everybody cries out in their heart saying, Abba, Father, because they want to be adopted back to him. You know, because we speak about it, redemption. Mm-hmm. And that's the adoption where he's saying, okay, you know what? I'll put the trials on you for a little period to get you to humble yourself, to cry out to me, and I'll take you back. Mm-hmm. You know, because we lost a relationship with God at some point in a previous world, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And now that we're on earth here, It's a trying period to have that established relationship in the kingdom of God back again in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here, you know, and we want you to have that relationship. We yearn for it. We yearn for that. Everybody can have a relationship. Nobody is out there that's not worthy. Everybody is worthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that note, we have to end this evening. So Pastor and Tim and I have to say goodnight. But if you enjoyed what you were saying, you know, help us continue to keep this word moving. I believe that God's intentions is going to make it happen anyhow. Yeah. But Paul says, I do this for your account, you know, in this book, and it's a witness, to give. And so we're asking you to support this and don't lose a blessing. You know, as you hit that PayPal and support what God is doing, you're going to get a blessing. If you don't, that's okay, because someone else will do it, and they'll get the blessing, you see? So one way or another, he'll support this work, and it will keep going. But the question is, will you get a blessing? That's the main key.
I just want to say, look, we're just asking to support the work that's being established here. We have internet that needs to be paid for. We have new equipment that we have to get because sometimes we're outgrowing the equipment that we currently have. Got to keep the lights on here. You know, it takes money to keep the heat on in the wintertime. But we need support so that we can get this word out and to save people and heal them and deliver them and have them establish a relationship with God. I mean, that's all we're asking for. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not asking for thousands upon thousands of dollars of donations like some of these other entities out there
but
do.
If you got 1,000 or so.
If you're led to do it, it's fine, yeah. But, you know, I tell you what, though. When I first started giving, I was very reluctant in the very beginning to give. But when because at the time I didn't have anything. But when I started to give, and I did it not out of obligation, but I did it out of a necessity, because I was like, you know what, God, I want to start giving back to you. My life got blessed, and my life has been blessed ever since. Mm-hmm. But you have to give in order to receive. Mm-hmm. If you don't give, you're never going to receive anything.
Yep.
It's a mystery, and it's a spirit law.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I was trying to bring across in the very beginning. You're going to lose your blessing. You're going to lose your blessing. You got to give in order to receive. These are laws that are written in the universe, and we have to abide by these laws. If you're not giving according to your heart and you want a blessing, you know, you have to look at your life. Where is it at? Are you receiving all your blessings? Where are they coming from, you see? So, you know, give. Just give. if it's not even to this ministry, give to someone in your streets. See somebody out there that's in need. Give to them.
Yeah.
But give so that you don't lose your blessing. Like I said, it's not really about us. We're going to be taken care of. I know it without shadow of a doubt, especially with what happened in our lives. We each have a wonderful testimony. And so because of that, we're going to be taken care of. Yeah. That's a given. If God works through you and takes care of us through you, I'm sure he'll take care of you.
You know what? And if you do give, it's a good way to see God work in your life.
Yeah.
Because now you can put him to the test by giving.
Hey, that's a good point.
You know, hey, if I don't give, how can I see God?
Mm-hmm.
But when you give, he has to give you something back.
Amen.
You know, look, try him. Test them in that. Mm-hmm. If that's the one area that's a hardship in your life is giving monetarily, do it anyways and say, okay, God, now I'm going to test you. I'm going to give a donation. Let's see what happens. I guarantee, and we'll stand together on this, you'll receive more than what you gave back, yeah. What you gave.
Yeah, if they're honest.
If they're honest, in your heart, you know. Don't be pissed off or angry and give, because you're not going to get anything back. But if it's just like, you know what, God, I want to see you. I guarantee you, you'll see God through a miracle sign and a wonder that way.
And so, to close, there's a PayPal somewhere on our website, and if you look through it, you'll find it. And hit that button. You know, I don't know if it asks for a credit card or what have you, but just go ahead. I have to look at it more. I have web people that do that stuff, and so I'm more focused up above hearing what God has to say. I can't come back down to the world. But find it, hit the button, and you know, bless yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And we bless you. God bless.
So thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for coming out, everybody.
Invite some friends.
Invite people out. Because I tell you what, you can listen to the messages on the web or on the internet, but it's not the same as when you're in the atmosphere.
No, yeah, get here.
You got to get here.
Yeah, take a plane. We got some hotel rooms somewhere around here, and get a plane. We got many airports around us.
Yep.
And another thing too is pass this word out. You know, you have some friends or what have you, and you can hear. And you can listen, but if you don't apply it, it's not going to help you. So you really have to hear and begin to apply. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, hey, this Sunday at 10 o'clock, we have a worship service. And then afterwards, we have our regular service at 11 o'clock. So we hope to have everybody tuned in and here or listening on the internet. And then we also have, like I said, Wednesday nights is our Q&A. You have us and some of the other pastors that come out at 7:30. And if you have questions, please send them in to our email, log on to our website. You can post them there, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. So take care, and we'll see you next week.
Amen. God bless.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yep.